Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Chaotic Minds. As always, I'm Winged.
And I'm the Midget.
And, hey, we've officially done 4 this month.
Sweet!
So, we just gotta keep on doing this. Yeah.
Now that we've got a little bit better routine going, I think it's making it a little easier for us.
Yeah, there is that. So, I guess first topic today that I at least want to talk about, because it's something that it's becoming such a big controversy or talking point nowadays, and that is like news
and
media stations and ways that people consume their news. And I'm talking like papers and TV shows.
Most people don't know what a newspaper is,
you know, or like getting your news from like online versus word of mouth versus watching TV or watching, you know, a streaming service or whatever,
or kind of picking and choosing.
Yeah, because there's a lot of like what I've noticed here recently. And by here recently, I mean within the last, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 10-ish years, is there's become a split, a schism in the news and these news outlets.
Most people prefer to consume their news digitally.
I'm talking even more basic than that.
Okay.
I'm talking left-leaning places versus right-leaning places versus the extremes to that extent, and so on and so forth. I mean, because I remember growing up as a kid watching TV. You'd turn on Fox 7 News back in Pennsylvania, and
9 News here is one of the biggest ones.
You know, then we had ABC4, and then we had Peacock, CBS. And then you had, you know, the MSNBCs and the CNNs and, you know, all of that. You had all of these different news outlets.
Options.
And they were telling the same story almost the same way. And I say almost because some places actually dug in a little bit, you know.
Researched the topic.
Yeah.
Instead of just...
I think I remember one instance where somebody on one of these news programs went ahead and said about, you know, just gave like a little blip. Just a little blip. Like, oh yeah, by the way, this happened. And just moved on with the next one. And one of their coworkers kind of looked at them funny, and they're like, what? Everybody else is covering it. We have the same information everybody else does. People have already heard about it. And granted, that little bit was in an interview later, when that person was no longer with the company because of that. But nowadays, if you watch one network, you're considered leaning one way. If you watch another network, you're considered leaning the other way. And then you have like the Fox News channel where they're leaning Republican, and like some of them are leaning like to the extreme right. And it's,
and I'll
like,
correct you on that. Fox is Democrat, because remember,
Fox News
is fake news.
No. Fox News, which has Tucker Carlson and Hannity Cooper, or at least had Hannity Cooper, but the Fox News people are all, you know, they are Republican leaning. They're going against the Democrats, you know. And then you have the MSNBC that lean more to the left. And then you have CNN, who they don't really have like a lean, so to speak. At least not that I've seen. But most people can, you know, they'll look at them, and depending on who is broadcasting or who's, you know, anchoring or being the host or whatever, they're leaning one way or the other. Whatever happened to just telling the news as it stands?
The nitty-gritty truth behind it.
Well, no, not even that. Like,
or
hey,
actually researching.
Hey, that wall was right in front of us is painted white, and that's the news. Not that wall was painted white because all it represents all the, you know, the pain and suffering of this person. No, that wall was painted white because
basically
it
people making up the reasoning.
Pretty much. It's like, why does everything have to be so, why do things have to be analyzed to an extent to give a reasoning behind it? Why can't it just be? Now,
it's more like it's being represented as political instead of showing what's going on.
Well, it's not even just political.
Oh no, I'm just saying an example.
Yeah. I mean, there are some cases where it's like, well, God said, no. First off, God did not say that. But like, what I don't get and what I fail to understand and how else to put it, but
your understanding,
my plebeian understanding and me not being so involved in all of these things that I certainly couldn't understand the true meaning the true meaning. Nobody understands that shit. The only person who understands that is the person who went ahead and put it out. You can try to derive
the person
true
that it happened to.
Yeah, you can try to derive true meaning from just about anything, but that doesn't mean that that's the true meaning. Are people going to touch on it? Absolutely.
It's kind of like, to put it more simply, it's kind of like that old saying, there's three sides to every story,
exactly.
Yours, mine, and the truth.
Exactly. You know, and where your story meets my story and they intertwine, that is the beginnings of the truth. But you have everybody like, this happened today. Well, it's them damn liberals. And then you have, you know, oh, there's them damn those right-leaning extremists. And this, that, and the other. And it's like, okay, why can't it just be like, this happened because the world is fucked? Like, we had a shooting here.
At East High School.
Yeah. And they found the kid who did the shooting 50 miles away, dead.
And that's the thing. That's the sad part.
And you know for a fact that people are going to go ahead and start being like, well, if we had better this and better that, how about we have some better support systems?
For our children that are going to be running this planet.
How about we have some better support systems and more, like, I don't know, in-depth checks on things? Or if you notice that somebody's having a problem, I'm not sure.
My personal favorite is they're probably going to bring up the fact that, oh, this happened because of violent video games. No.
What I've noticed here recently when it comes to video games is that argument has slowly started to peter out and be replaced with, well, it's because of gun control or lack thereof. Nobody ever fucking talks about the fact that maybe it could be because of the mental health crisis that not only this planet but the world is going through right now.
You mean not only this country but the planet?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
My thing is they're gonna try to place blame on a number of things. Either it's video games that are going to be to blame, or it's going to be the parents. And a lot of times, you know, coming as we are parents ourselves, it seems to me like when they have problems at school, it's like the thing from Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But it boils over to their home life. And if we as parents don't have that support system of, you know, the mental health the abilities of helping our youth, helping our children, helping other children around us, that we are going to be left in a position where we are going to be to blame because we don't know where to go with it. We don't know how to get them help half the time.
Yeah. The other thing that really, like, I can't read any sort of newspaper, or whether it's paper, like actual newspaper in my hands.
Or news article online.
Yeah, I can't read any of those anymore because I cannot stand the
blame game.
The blatant biasness,
yeah,
of certain outlets. Like, as it stands, and I know you're not supposed to do this because it leads you into one-way thinking, and that's part of the reason why we've gotten to where we are now. But one of the biggest names, or one of the biggest ways I get my news, is from Philip DeFranco and Rogue Rocket.
They present the news and they give their opinion, and then they say, hey, what do you think?
They open it up for a conversation. And then you can sit there and in the comments see where everybody is coming from.
Yes. And I mean, one of the biggest things...
Talk to people about it, and have that conversation. And that's what it should be.
And I mean, one of the biggest things that bothered me with the whole East High School shooting thing yesterday, I saw the blip come across my text message because the public school system has this nifty thing where something is going on and there's going to be an increased police presence or whatnot, what have you, whatever the case may be, that they will send a mass text to all the parents. Well, I got one yesterday about it and I was like, huh. And one of my co-workers was standing beside me. He goes, what's going on? And I said, well, there was a shooting at East High School today. Two staff members were shot by a student. And he goes, well, that's just par for the course for East High School. Like, it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be for any school.
It shouldn't be
honest.
Anywhere, really.
Now, what I will say is, growing up back on the East Coast, where I grew up at, like where I went to school at, we didn't have that. Like, the worst thing I think we had was somebody had brought a knife in. But that was it. Like, and where I went to high school was, like, way out in the boonies. People hunted, you know, they were outdoorsmen. So, yeah, they had access to these firearms. The difference is, people out there who do this for fun or for recreation or whatever, they don't just buy these weapons just for the fuck of it.
Just to make their
they
collection
go
complete.
Through this thing called gun safety. They know how to operate and how to handle a firearm. You go into the city, or you go into heavily populated areas,
you don't have that.
You don't have that. It's an option. It's like, why did we take it from being mandatory for you to learn this in order for you to get any sort of concealed or to be able to purchase a firearm?
And I think that needs
any
to
way,
be
shape,
reinstituted.
Or form. Like, my dad had to go through a safety class when he bought his 12-gauge.
Exactly. And it's like, you don't hear that anymore. And I think that's a big problem, especially with children and teenagers and stuff like that. One of the things that needs to be mandatory is weapon safety.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're going to purchase a handgun or a firearm, period, it should be mandatory for you to take a safety class on the usage of those weapons.
But none of these media outlets will ever go ahead and touch on that.
All they want is gun control.
All they talk about is, well, this firearm was used and this firearm was used,
so let's ban it.
And then it goes to Congress and they're like, oh, we want to ban this style of weapon. And then you have the people who have that, or are, you know, they want their
utilizing properly,
or I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about those people who are too prideful. They may not even have a firearm, but they're like, I'm gonna go out and buy this one just so that way, you know, if they want it, they can come take it from my cold dead body. Second Amendment, blah blah blah. Now, what the Second Amendment states is we have the right to own firearms in case of government tyranny, i.e. the same shit that the that the colonists and the people of early America went through in 1776. The difference then between then and now is we have a fully staffed, or not really fully staffed, but fully funded, highly advanced military that if the people of this country decided, oh, hey, we're going to rise up against the government, there's going to be a lot of dead bodies because of this military. And I mean, I have never owned a firearm in my life. Well, you have owned a few. All I have is I have a compound bow. I have one. You have one. Our daughter Bug has one, you know, but I've never owned a firearm, and I would love to. The difference between me and the guy next door, however, is I have military training, so I know how to handle and operate and the procedures of utilizing and securing and everything else of a firearm. Same with you. You know that.
Exactly. And that's something that I've wanted to carry over to our children is, you know, as long as they have an understanding on how to be safe with something, you know, teaching them how to utilize it. Our daughter carries a knife on her pretty much all the time. Granted, she doesn't take it to school, but if she's out and about by herself, she's a 14-year-old girl. She's going to carry some form of protection because of the state of the world we live in. And if us as parents think that is okay and she is well equipped to handle herself in a situation, by all means, let your child carry a knife if they're out and about to protect themselves. And they know that that's what it boils down to, that it is a tool to help protect themselves.
But then you have people in these media outlets who would see that and report it as a story and use fear-mongering as, oh, unhinged, unattended child walking around with a knife. Like
thinking that she's going to stab everybody, and that's not the case.
But then you have another media outlet that's like, oh, hey, this brave young girl walking around with armed only with a knife and for her own self-protection because of this and that. No, she's not been forced to utilize it or even pull it out, thankfully. You know, but that's not the case either. It's just her wanting to have some self-confidence in the fact that if something is to happen,
she's
and a big thing on if, she has the means to distract and get away.
Exactly.
And get somewhere and get to someone who can handle it.
You know,
i.e. run the fuck back here and come get me.
And if we teach our children to be safe around weapons, regardless of what they are, bows, knives, guns, anything like that, if we teach
hammers,
them to be safe,
shovels,
exactly,
big sexes.
It doesn't matter what kind of weapon, if we teach them to be safe around it, they're not going to fear it so much. They're going to be like, okay, if this happens, somebody breaks in. Our 17-year-old is like, if they break in, it might not do much damage, but it'll help me get away or get to a point where I can get somebody to come help me. He will grab his little wooden sword he got at Ren Faire.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I know where plenty of the sharp objects are in this house. We have our knives accessible because if something was to happen and we are not here, we are confident in the fact that our children will do what it takes to protect each other.
But it's the fear-mongering of these media outlets and the fact that they're saying things a certain way or putting
things
a certain way. Yeah, thank you. Skewing things a certain way that we even have to have this fear to begin with. This is how they stay in business.
Exactly.
They're not, nowadays it's not about, here, let's report the news. Let's tell the people what's going on in their area and not have any sort of spin on it. Nowadays, it's, this is the worst possible thing that can happen in this area, and it could happen in your area, so you might as well be, why do we need to be prepared?
And that's the thing.
Are there some fucked up people around this planet? Absolutely. but how many more people aren't fucked up?
Exactly. And the thing is then you've got those two news outlets telling stories like that, and then you've got people like, well, they're teaching their child to use a bow, they're teaching their child to use a knife or a gun,
the snowflakes,
so they're obviously, their children are going to shoot up the school, or their children are going to stab people and whatnot. And that's another thing that bothers me about some news outlets, that they will sit there and push that fear onto everybody, and then you get people that are reported to social services. Like, I have no doubt that with our daughter, that if she was to defend herself and protect herself, if something was to happen, that somebody's going to turn around and try to twist it and say that we gave her that knife specifically for that purpose, to stab somebody, and then it's going to be social services and all that other jazz.
Well, my biggest question in all of this is, whatever happened to just telling the news? Why did we have to change?
Reporting the news as is instead of putting your spin or your take on it.
Yeah, it's like, hey, it's snowing outside.
The truth.
It's snowing outside. Fantastic. Then you have, you know, the people who are, oh, it's global warming, and we're not getting into that.
No.
We are not getting into that.
No, that's a whole can of worms.
But it's the global warming, and it just signs that this planet is going to hell. And then you have people who are like, those global warming people are idiots, and that's not the reason. This is the reason.
That's the whole flat earth thing all over again.
And it's like, no, we have a hand in things. However, it's still winter. I mean, technically it's spring, but it's still like right around the end of winter, early spring. Guess what? We're going to have snow. That's how the world works, because it hasn't tilted back in the other direction to make it warmer here.
And that's the thing, is like, one of my personal favorites on how people bring about the news is when they're telling the story, okay, it's snowing outside. If you are worried about this, this is a resource that you could use, like LEAP.
Right.
Like, telling people, okay, it's going to be negative 10. These are things that you could do to better protect yourself and your pets.
Wear clothes and a jacket.
I see people in the middle, dead of winter here in Colorado, where there's a blizzard going on, and they're jogging in their shorts and tank top and tennis shoes. It's like, and then they complained that they get sick.
I gotta train my body to ignore it all. Oh no, I'm sick.
Exactly. It's like, do things to better protect yourselves. And that's with everything. I mean, everything from the weather to weapons to self-defense to everything else. You know, we need that information to better prepare for those situations. And some news outlets don't do that.
My biggest pet peeve, and you know this, my biggest pet peeve and the type of media that I cannot stand more than anything else is all of those celebrity fucking, like, TMZ and E! Entertainment, like, and stuff like that.
Or like National Enquirer magazine, if you remember that.
I can't stand those TV shows, those media outlets at all. Why? Well, why can't you stand them, Winged? Well, let's take a look here.
They're normal.
You
just
are
like us.
Stalking people.
And
stalking
we touched base
people.
On, we touched base on this with our paparazzi section, with how big paparazzi have become and how dangerous it is sometimes for their families. And
yep.
That's the thing, is like you stated before, and, you know, kind of I opened my eyes to, so to speak, is people are so consumed with what's this celebrity or that celebrity doing. Shut the fuck up and leave them the hell alone. They're normal people just like us.
I mean, like, let's take here recently the most biggest thing. There was a report out that Amanda Burns was found...
Amanda Bynes.
Sure. Was found wandering the streets naked and ended up being found by someone and had the police called on them. And that is how it was reported by TMZ. But when you actually sit there and you look and you go into it and you read into the story and you find another way to read about it.
Like research.
She wasn't found. She found somebody. Was she naked?
She asked for help.
Yes. But not only did she ask for help and she delivered herself to the hospital, she was the one on the phone with 911.
Exactly.
But if you look at these fucking celebrity places.
Celebrity news outlets.
It's, oh my God, this person was found naked and had to have.
It's like.
And then the whole Britney thing. Oh, she snapped at this waiter. Well, she snapped while she was eating and went crazy. It's like, no. She said something to somebody who wouldn't leave her the fuck alone while she was trying to have a meal.
And that's
why do we need to have our noses so far up these people's asses? I honestly believe that the Kardashians would not be as big of a name as they are had people just left them the fuck alone.
They wouldn't. And that's the thing is like celebrities.
Like people
like
are
said,
getting
are
famous
normally,
for just being.
Celebrities are normal people like us. So of course
they just have
they're
a talent.
So, of course, they're going to have the same issues as us. We as normal people, not famous people, I should say, have mental health issues. We have problems with finances and, you know, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to pay for that?
But if you...
Celebrities, they look at celebrities like, oh, they shouldn't have these problems because they're rich.
Well, these outlets like TMZ have that mindset. But if you look at some of the other ones, like some of the non-celebrity news outlets or Celebrity Watch or whatever, they're just like, oh hey, by the way, this happened. Okay, this movie did this much money. Okay. And then you get like TMZ or E! Entertainment being like, oh, by the way, there's controversy around this movie because of this.
And
it's
I didn't
need to know this.
Exactly. And one of the things that, you know, the last thing that I'm going to say on the whole celebrity news media and stuff like that is I don't believe that we should be exploiting a celebrity's mental health crisis
or
family situation or crisis period for the entire public to see. She was asking for help. She was trying to seek help because she knew she was in a downward spiral that could end with dire consequences. We should not be publicizing that.
She shouldn't be criticizing it either.
She deserves to get help in private. She deserves that expectation of privacy for her medical issues, her mental health issues, whatever the case may be. Oh, this celebrity just gave birth and we're standing outside the hospital right now to get reports. No, leave them alone. They deserve to enjoy their family bonding time without somebody's nose up their ass. I am sorry if that hurts anybody's. I am sorry if that hurts anybody's little feelings. I'm sorry if you're a snowflake enough that you can't understand where I'm coming from. But how would you like it if somebody walked up to you with a camera in your face every time you decided to take a shit in public? Every time you decided...
Not in public, but in a public restroom.
That's what I'm saying. It's like every time you do something, how would you like it if somebody... If you had
a bad
day...
Oh my God, they bought Minute Maid orange juice instead of Simply Orange. Oh, click, 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 click.
Or my personal favorite, you know, the whole... They are publicizing these mental health issues, but not making any suggestions on how to help people.
Yep. I will completely agree with you on that.
And that just irritates the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah. So that actually brings us to the next topic that I have in mind.
Okay. What's that?
So... I think a lot of why people, and we mentioned it a lot in that first topic, was fear and fear mongering and whatnot. And I think a lot of the reason why the celebrity thing is so big is fear missing out, right? FOMO.
Yeah.
So that actually brings up the next thing I had in mind, which was just fears in general. I mean, fear is one of those things where it is...
It kicks our fight or flight instinct.
Exactly. And a lot of people will associate fear with it being a negative thing. It's not really a negative thing. It's more of an instinctual thing, because your body throws these fear signals to you to remind you or to inform yourself that, oh, hey, by the way, this is happening to preserve yourself. You should probably not be there anymore.
Or you should be careful with what you're doing.
Right. You know, Papa Roach did a song a couple years ago that was titled F-E-A-R. And the way that they broke it down, I believe they broke it down in the song, was it can stand for one of two things. Fear can stand for one of two things. Fuck everything and run. Or face everything and rise. And I think that is actually a huge thing to keep in mind. I mean, because like a couple of my fears, I have arachnophobia. I am terrified of clowns. Both of those fears come from the same thing. I watched and pretty much was made to watch the first It, like the original Stephen King's It with Tim Curry in it, back when I was small. And that's what kind of started my whole I don't do horror movie thing. You know, I also kind of have this fear of heights, and it's not really being up high that scares me. It's what if I fall down and when I hit. It's more of a fear of pain and that response, you know, but then there's like,
it's the fear of what could happen.
Yeah. And then obviously you have the, I'm scared of what could be coming that I don't know about. You know, I pretty much have this mentality of, if I can control it, what do I have to be scared about? If I can control an outcome, what do I have to be scared about? What do I have to be worried about? If I can't control it, that's when I'll start worrying. Or sorry, other way around. If I can't control it, I'm not scared. If I can't control it, then I'll be worried. You know, if I can control the outcome of something, that means that I have to think about it. I have to actively worry about it. Like, if we were to ever go skydiving, I would be in somewhat control of what happens, i.e. I go up in an airplane and then I jump out. You know?
Jumping out of a perfectly good airplane is no fun.
But, like, that would be something that I would have to worry about and I would have to be fearful of. But if I don't have any control over it...
Like, say, the chute opening. You can pull the string, doesn't mean anything's going to happen.
Well, no, that's part of me worrying about it, because that's something that can be controlled. But, like, I'm walking out, like... What's going to happen today?
If I take a walk, exactly.
If I go outside to walk around, what's going to happen? I don't have any control over that. So whatever happens, happens. Like, if I get that sense of, oh, hey, I shouldn't be here, then that's something that I can control and I'm going to leave the area.
Exactly. Leave the situation.
But if it's something that just happens, like, I'm walking down the sidewalk and all of a sudden a car jumps up on the curb and smacks into me, I can't control that. You know, that's what I have a fear of.
And another thing, like, you can control, like, if you're going to the grocery store, you're like, okay, I got to get this, and this.
Hmm?
Well, what if this happens? What if my car declines? You worry about that because you can control those things.
Exactly.
And you can't control, okay, like the whole big thing with King Super, City Market, Kroger, whatever is closest to you, like those shootings inside those stores. You can't control that.
You can control your actions.
Exactly. You can control how you deal with the situation, but you can't control others.
And that's what I'm scared of.
Exactly.
You know, that is a fear of mine. But like, fear of missing out, like, oh my God, this person did this. Okay. Wonderful. Great.
And that's one of my biggest things is when I was working at the hospitals, my fear was that I'm pulling these 12 and a half hour days 4 or 5 days a week, sometimes 6, depending on if I get called in or not. What am I missing with my family? What am I missing with my kids? I'm missing my kids growing up. You know, that's
a legitimate FOMO moment. But I'm gonna put you on blast here. You like reading those articles of like, hey, remember this childhood star? Guess where they are now? And you're like, oh my God, did you know this? And I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And you always give me a look like, really? I'm trying to share something. It's like, it's not that I don't care that you're trying to share something with me. I love the fact that you're trying to share something with me. The part that I don't care about is the topic.
And that's the thing is like, I have been trying to steer clear.
And I will give you props on that. But like, that was a big thing there for a while.
Yeah.
And that's what got me to first confront you about it is, why do you do this? And you're like, well, it's something that's entertaining for me. It's like, okay, but you do realize that these are people too. And that's when I guess that little switch flipped in your head. It's
like, exactly.
Wait a minute. You're right. You know, but like, a lot of the things that happen nowadays is it is based around fear. Instead of being based around, hey, I actually enjoy this, it's more along the lines of, oh, I'm scared that I'm missing out on this, or I'm scared of this because of this, or just in the for media outlets, it's, oh, you should be scared of this. Why should I be scared of something?
And one of my biggest things, this is something that I'm afraid of now, is I decided to join a charity group that is doing something with crocheting during the month of April. It's you sign up and you crochet these items and you can either give them away, raffle them off, donate them, whatever. And my biggest fear with that is I'm going to make something that I'm extremely proud of. And I'm going to put the picture up there and people are going to be like, well, that's ugly. Why did you choose this color? Why did you choose this pattern? Why?
But are you going to live? Are you going to prevent yourself from doing something because a bunch of people say this, but one person says, oh, hey, that looks really cool. Or are you going to put it up anyways because of
my enjoyment?
One, your enjoyment. And two, there is going to be somebody who likes it as well.
And that's my thing is like, you can't let fear control every aspect of your life. That's why I'm like, okay, I'm thinking to myself, okay, what do I want to do? What's going to be something that I am proud of putting out, a product that I am proud of making, something like that, and fuck everything else.
Like, I have a fear for this show and I've shared it with you before.
You know. I'm going to put you on blast. You were ready to quit.
Yep.
Because we don't have the amount of listeners that you think we should. And that's not, and like I told you, do it because we enjoy it, not because others may or may not be listening.
Well, I'm going to put myself on blast because there are going to be some people, and the people who are actively listening to this right now, they are enjoying this because they have something, they see something similar. And I should have remembered that.
They go through something similar.
I should have remembered that when you and I had that conversation. But no, it's.
I don't do this show for everybody else's entertainment. I do this show because I enjoy it. I enjoy spending time with you creating something. And that's my biggest thing. It's like, I'm not afraid of people listening for 18 seconds and getting off. Maybe it's not something that they enjoy hearing us talk about. Cool. To each their own. I'm going to continue doing it because I enjoy it, regardless of anybody else's opinions. People may say, oh, your podcast sucks. Why don't you do more of this? Why don't you do more of that? Well, because it's not a topic that I'm interested in. It's not a topic that we're interested in. There are some topics that neither one of us are interested in, but we choose to do them anyway because we would like to get the opinions of others. We would like to get that feedback. So
I'm all about, in that instance, you know, I want to share opinions. I want to have a discussion with somebody about it. You know, I don't want it to just sit there and be like, oh, hey, I'm going to have only my own opinion and that's it. No, that's not how you grow as a person. You grow by having these differentiating opinions.
There are, and I mean, we have different opinions every day on certain subjects. Like,
there have been occasions that you and I have actually argued about something so stupid.
Because we have differing opinions.
And we're both prideful people and we're like, nope, my opinion's right, yours is wrong. And we forget that it's just that, our opinion.
Exactly. You shouldn't force feed your opinion on somebody.
But it's that fear of, well, what if they don't see things the same way that I do? And because of that, they go ahead and they leave. Now, granted, that is like a worst case scenario kind of thing. But that's what a lot of people jump to, is they don't look at the small
stuff. They don't look at the bigger picture either.
Well, it's not that they don't look at the bigger picture. It's they only look at the big picture in a future that may or may not come to pass. Like we've been watching and catching and going back through old seasons of Catfish, right? And love that show. Absolutely love that show. But a lot of the time when these people finally meet, you know, one of the questions I get asked is, well, why did it take this long? Why did you do things this way?
Fear.
I was scared. Well, what were you scared about?
Why did you hide this from this person and not tell
the truth? I was scared that they wouldn't see me the same way.
They wouldn't accept me.
Exactly. And like, there was one that we watched. It was like, if you just would have came out to me and told me, I would have just, if you would have been upfront with me the entire, like from the get, then it would have been fine. Like the one we watched last night about that girl who had trust issues because her dad cheated on her mom after 40 something years.
Exactly.
You know, and so she doesn't trust men because of that. And she met this guy online, was talking with him, and she was like, if he's lying to me, I'm done. And turns out, surprise, surprise, it's Catfish. He was lying to her. But she had even stated at one point, if you would have just been honest with me from the get,
things would have been different.
Exactly. And that was the big thing. He was scared that she wouldn't accept him because of how he looked or whatnot. And it's like,
we have to keep in mind that as a human race, we need to be more understanding, be more empathetic about situations and issues that other people that we are talking to have. We need to be receptive into listening, actively listening, and saying, okay, this is the reason this person did this. This is why they lied. You know, what could we do different? What can we do going forward? Honesty is always the best policy, regardless if it hurts somebody's feelings or not, or makes them see you in a different light. Honesty is always the best policy.
Because at least when you're honest with someone, there's a jumping off point. When you lie to someone, you have to, one, not only remember that lie,
but tell the lie consistently through all.
You have to remember that lie and tell that lie consistency forever. Or at least until the truth does come out. And then once that truth does come out.
And then it's worse.
Once that truth does come out, then you have to go ahead and create a new one. You have to backtrack and explain
why.
Explain the lie. And then you have to sit there and create a new starting point. And all of that time and effort and energy that was used on creating this lie is wasted. And now you have to spend double the amount of effort and energy and you know, time
to rebuild,
to get back to a point where there you're at a good jumping off point. If you would have just told the truth to begin with, you could have skipped all of step 1 through 7 and gone right to step 8, and that would have been your step 2.
Exactly.
But it's the fear part of it that is like, well, I was scared. Why were you scared? Did you know this person before you started talking to them? No. Did you know the situation, you know, insert whatever situation it was going to be before you went into it? No. Then what do you have to be afraid of? Like, why sit there and suffer in fear and be paralyzed by fear?
Why are you letting that fear drive you?
Why get angry and violent to that fear when you can just see it as this is a body's natural reaction and I'm going to go get through this because I refuse to be afraid? Like, for the longest time, I'll put you on blast again. You were scared about our relationship.
Yeah.
And the consequences, both good and bad, of our relationship and what it could mean. And therefore, a while, you were not telling me everything or involving me in certain conversations, or, you know, there were things that you were hiding and whatnot.
Or lying by omission.
Yeah. And what did I tell you? Our relationship is a partnership. We are equals.
We both give 100%. It's not relationships and friendships and anything. It's never 50-50. You should always give your 100%. Both sides.
Well, it is 50-50 in the fact that you need to have the other person be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to match the donation that you give. You know, you shouldn't ever be like, well, I'm going to give a quarter while you give 75%. And, you know, that's how it's going to be. No, that's not a relationship. That's sycophancy.
And that's the thing is, like, and that translates to everything. Like, there were times where I wasn't working and you were, and I felt like you were going to, my fear was that you were going to leave because I couldn't help with the bills. I couldn't help with this, that, and the other. And you're like, look, we're fine. We're going to get through this. Everything's good. And now the shoe's on the other foot where I'm working and you're at home. And I see that you have that fear that, well, I'm a lazy piece of shit because I don't have a job and I'm not helping with this, that, and the other. So she's going to find somebody that could help her support the kids or help her pay the bills and leave me in the dust.
Wow, thanks for really deep diving into my brain here without even saying anything.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry. But no, it's like it is a partnership, regardless of what relationship, friendship, work, anything like that. You know, it's a partnership. We are going to deal with things, as marriage vows say, for better or for worse, for richer or poorer. Granted, we broke a ship right now, so we're on the poorer end of things, but we still have a roof over our head. We have food in our stomachs. Granted, it may not be the healthiest or the best things on the planet, but we have food in our stomachs, a roof over our head. Our children are protected. Our pets are taken care of. Everything's being taken care of.
Yeah,
we're broke. We're not going to be able to do some of the extra stuff.
But we can do the stuff that we need to.
We can do what we need, not always what we want.
And that fear does subside. Like, once you've gone through it once or twice or
half a dozen times,
you know, that fear does subside.
And you know how to better handle it, I think, is what is more of a correct statement.
Well, it's not just better handle it. It's how to get through it easier. You know,
not being stubborn and not asking for help.
You know how you're going to react. So you can sit there and set up safeguards to be like, oh, hey, I'm scared right now. I've been through this before. Here's what I did before to get through this. I'm going to do it again.
And sometimes things may work, things may not. But you can't let that fear control you.
Exactly. You know, but like, when it comes to it, I don't know. It's tough because there are some that are just irrational fears. Like my fear of clowns. completely irrational. Still scared the shit of them. You know, spiders. Irrational fear.
I'll put you on blast. You call me into the bathroom to squish the spider or get rid of the spider.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's in the bathroom or not. Like, it doesn't matter if it's in the bathroom or not. Like, if I see a spider, it's like, nay, nay, nay. Hey. Help, bitch. Help, bitch.
And I'll come, I'd go into the bathroom and he's like, spider. I'm like, where? Over there. Oh, that thing is tiny. What are you scared of? Like, seriously, you have your slippers on. Just take it and smack it. Eastern pancake bug is dead.
But it, like, I know that there are some fears that are irrational. Like, you can't explain it. But those fears that you have or that get pushed onto you by different media outlets, by your friends, your family, you know, you should be scared of these, of this situation or these people. Why?
You should be afraid of this vaccine because it's going to cause autism or it's going to be worse off and it's not
researched. There's tracking devices inside of it.
Yeah, that's one of those things. It's like,
fucking
really?
Really?
You put GPS trackers in your dog and you get them vaccines to protect them. Why wouldn't you do that for your family?
For the GPS part.
Yeah, I mean, there are some people that have put GPS trackers in their children, but that's to keep them safe. Like children that are severely autistic, mentally handicapped, Down syndrome, like different things. People have actually put trackers inside them to keep them safe.
I understand that, but I think that's where...
Still not cool.
I think that's where you and I are going to draw the line at for that, because...
Yeah, we can go into a whole deep dive on that.
You know, but like, just because it's scary doesn't mean you're not going to go through it. Like, haunted houses. Huge. We have one out here, 13th floor. It is one that, like...
Great place.
It is one of the scariest haunted houses. But it makes a shitload of money every year. Why? If it's spoopy, if it's scary... Why is it still open? Because people enjoy that type of fear. It gets a high. And some people take it to the extreme and they become adrenaline junkies where they're pushing their body to feel that fear for the adrenaline. And what is one of the best feelings that I've ever had is the first time I rode one of the roller coasters back home that I was just terrified of doing. It's called the Great Bear, named after Ursa Major, you know, the big bear up in the constellations. And my whole reasoning of why I didn't want to ever ride it, your feet dangled. Dead serious. That was my only reason. My feet were not on a solid, like on a surface. They just dangled there in the air. I was terrified.
Like the mind eraser here. That was my issue.
I rode like I refused to ride it as a kid, even as a teenager growing up. And as an adult, me and my friend, you know, I was at work one day and one of my friends was like, hey, we're gonna go to Hershey Park tomorrow because we have off. Did you want to come with us? And I'm like, fuck it, yeah, let's go, let's do this. So I went ahead and I got a ticket, and you know, we all rode up together. And they're like, so one of the first rides we want to go on is the Great Bear. And I'm like, oh. They're like, what? I'm like, I've never done it because I've been terrified. They're like, well, you're coming with us. And they shoved me into the middle of the group. And I'm a big guy. But these, like, three or four of the people that were around me were females, were girls. And I kind of have this thing about, you know, pushing and shoving girls. So I was like, crap. And then like their other friends, the other dudes that I went with were surrounding them. They're like, we're going. And I'm in the middle and I don't have a choice. Went ahead, got made to ride it. Terrified beforehand. And then like halfway through, that switch flipped in my head. And I loved that ride and the rush that I got after riding it and conquering
exactly.
that fear. I was like, let's do it again. They're like, we got like three other rides we got to get hit before we can go back, come back to this. All right, let's do this.
And that's my thing is like,
and it was one of the best days I've ever had at Hershey Park that in recent history. And it was fantastic.
And I mean, that's the same thing with the Mind Eraser here or the Tower of Doom here.
I've never rode a Tower of Doom.
I was so afraid of riding the Mind Eraser for the same reason. You know, my feet were dangling. And I rode it and I'm like, that was the coolest fucking roller coaster I have ever been on. And now I'm like, okay, what other roller coasters that I've had a fear of do I want to ride? I want to ride the one at the top of the Stratosphere in Las Vegas. That'd be something freaking cool. Granted, now that I'm older, it's probably going to be a little bit harder on my body. But I still, that's one of those things that I'd like to eventually do. And with the Tower of Doom, I was always afraid to ride it because it's you go up and then you drop, like majorly drop. And I was always afraid of it. And when I was working at Texas Roadhouse, one of my coworkers, an older guy, he's 15 years older than I am. So I'm getting ready to turn 40. He's getting ready to turn, I think, like 57, 58.
That he's all.
Never mind, math.
But, math is hard.
But no, like, he's like, you got to ride it. It's one of my favorite rides. And I'm looking at him strange. I'm like, you're older. How is this one of your favorite rides? He goes, it's really awesome. You just trust me. Come on. And he dragged me into the line at Tower of Doom. And we get up there. It's such a beautiful view. And then you get this calm and quiet. And then you drop and you're like, holy shit. And then afterwards, I was like, that was cool. That was worth it. That was worth the fear. That was worth the anticipation. And you kind of overcome that fear. And I actually enjoyed it. I loved it. And I rode it two more times that same day. And then they shut it down because it started thundering and lightning. And I'm glad I didn't get in there a fourth time because that is one of my biggest fears. Like, I'll be on one of those rides and it's going to get struck by lightning and I'm going to be like,
oh, yeah. But like, I don't know. Maybe fear is just like anticipation. Like you went ahead and said, you got that calm and then you started anticipating. And then like, maybe that's what fear is anticipation. For your body to send
anticipation of the outcome too.
Well, send in like all these chemicals, it like naturally occurring chemicals into your body and into your brain to get you moving, so to speak. Like either way though, don't let fear
control
run you. Like if it's something that you can talk your way and logic your way through it, do that if that helps. If somebody has to force you to walk through a path or, you know, have another point of view other than your own.
Don't be afraid to try something new.
Exactly. So, yeah, just don't be afraid. There's no point to it.
Exactly.
So, we're going to take a quick break, go to an ad. I think the last segment is one of your choosing.
Okay.
So we'll be right back, guys.
Okay.
All right. So what you got?
Food.
I like food. Obviously, I like food.
Yeah. I mean, we all do. It's something we need to survive.
Well, no, like there's liking food because you have to have it. And then there's liking food because you're fat.
Yeah, me too. No, my thing is like I love to cook. For people. I mean, I was raised, my mother was a banquet chef for the Army. Like, I have been around food and creation of recipes and stuff my whole life. And I always want to try to cook new things or to try different things inside of a recipe that I normally wouldn't. You know, substituting a different meat, substituting a different, you know, oil or whatever. And one of the biggest things that I really enjoy making, because not only A, does it go pretty far for our family, B, it's something that's tasty and I enjoy, is those knockoff recipes that you find online from your favorite restaurants, like Supa Toscana.
That was really Olive good, Garden. By the way.
And like, I love those type of recipes and breakdowns that people research and look into and say, hey, we could make this at home. And
like the whole secret herbs and spices from KFC, that's been leaked. Like the 13 secret herbs and spices have been leaked, and I'm like,
And that's the thing is, like, I made soup of Toscana, and one of the things it calls for is the use of chicken broth. Well, we have a child, well, now an adult.
We have a kiddo.
We have a kiddo that is allergic to poultry. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to use chicken broth. Let's use vegetable broth instead. And it tastes so good. It's richer, has more flavor, brings out the flavor of the other items, like the whole nine yards. And it turns out really good every time. And sometimes I'll tweak things and be like, okay, you know, I'll use this amount instead. Like one of the recipes from my the Destiny cookbook, the limoncello chicken rice. Like it calls for one chicken breast for the whole recipe. And sometimes, and like I'll double the recipe normally with everything else, but I'll triple or quadruple the meat to have that extra protein because, you know, there's very little chicken in there to begin with. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to put this amount of chicken in and still follow everything else doubled. But it turns out so good every time. And I not only use like the lemon juice, the fresh squeezed lemon juice you can buy in the bottle, the lemon zest from the actual lemons, I will actually utilize the juice from the actual lemon. And then only you, and I'll say I have a cup of the juice from actual lemons, and it calls for 2 cups, so 4 cups of, or it calls for 2 cups for the recipe to be doubled. Okay, I got a cup of juice from the actual lemons. Let's use the other cup as the juice that you buy in the bottle. Granted, they're the same thing, that's actual lemon juice, but, you know, utilizing every piece and not wasting.
Yeah.
And I mean, even if I don't utilize the lemon juice from the lemons in the recipe, I use it to deodorize the garbage disposal, utilizing different things so that you're not wasting. And that's a big problem we have as a planet, is waste.
Yep.
Like, how much food do we waste a year? That's why there are times where, like, okay, you know, I've made these dinners all week. We have leftovers from all this stuff. Leftover night, grab what you want out of the fridge from the previous week's dinners or whatever. Like for us, it's more like 2 or 3 days worth of dinners, but like, you know, utilizing that food. Or if I have extra taco meat, like say we had tacos on Monday and here it is Saturday. Okay, I've got all this extra taco meat. What can I do to utilize this taco meat? Creating different recipes. And like, one of the biggest things that our oldest likes is when I make what he named taco pasta, because we were broke, didn't get paid for a few days, didn't get my food stamps for a few days. We had like 2 pounds of taco meat that we had from like 4 or 5 days before when we had actual tacos. I was like, okay, let's do taco meat. I've got black beans. Black beans are used in a lot of Mexican dishes. Okay, cool. I've got some shells. Cool. Hey, let's throw a little bit of salsa in there and some cheese in there and all this other stuff. And it's slowly become one of our favorite dishes that I can utilize all of our leftovers. And whereas people are like, oh, you're using that, or the negative stuff about people eating leftovers. People don't like eating leftovers. Like we know a girl that I won't mention her name. She refuses. I mean, absolutely refuses to eat any leftovers. She doesn't care. She will not touch it. Even if it's her favorite dish in the world, like, say her favorite dish was the soup of Toscana and we had so much left over, she would refuse to eat it. It would go bad in the fridge. And that's one of those things where, why create the waste? Why aren't you going to eat the leftovers on something you spent X amount of money on.
And time.
And time.
I mean, back when I was growing up, my mom would get food for the week. And then like Friday or Saturday night, we would have, it would be leftover night. And that was like a weekly thing where, because my mom, growing up in an Italian household, would make a lot of food.
So just
we would
like
have
I
a
do.
Lot of leftovers. And we'd stick them in the fridge. And then like one day during the week, my mom didn't feel like cooking. So she'd go ahead and do leftovers. And
I utilize that too.
We would nuke up, microwave the leftovers, put them out on a table. And when it came time for dinner, or, you know, she would do that right before dinner. And when it came down to it, it's like, hey, all right, what do you want? What does everybody want here? And, you know, that way we could have a variety of different things, but still be eating.
You have
the
four of us eating four different things.
Yeah. And like that was a big thing when I was growing up. It's like
a fun little thing.
But I mean, as we got older, my mom started cooking less and adjusting it. So that way, if we did have leftovers, it was enough for like a lunch. So that way somebody could bring it to work with them.
Exactly.
Or
school. Or,
you know,
whatnot.
And trying to save room in the refrigerator for like necessities or stuff like that.
Staples like milk, butter, cheese.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what we've been trying to do here too recently, but that's because we're both trying to lose weight. So making sure that we only have enough for a dinner and maybe a lunch.
And not only that, but the increased mouths we're feeding.
Well, I mean, we actually lost a mouth there for a while. So it's like,
why am I going to have all these leftovers?
Exactly.
And then we are not only feeding our oldest, who has recently moved back in with us, but
we can stop right there.
Exactly.
We can stop right there. But no, it's like traditionally, like food wise, when I was growing up, you know, we had our, like I grew up Pennsylvania Dutch.
Pork chops and sauerkraut for New Year's.
Yep. And that brings good luck for the rest of the year, you know, but then like, so we would have a lot of like strong flavored stuff. Like my mom made a variation of, I can never remember what it's called, but it was like the two main ingredients were beef tips, like steak tips.
Stroganoff.
No, not stroganoff. But it'd be like steak tips and egg noodles.
Yeah.
And a Worcestershire sauce. And it wasn't stroganoff. Stroganoff was something
mushroom
else that my mom would make.
But
I can't remember what she would make. I would ask for it, you know, frequently because it was so good. You know, but we would have stroganoff. We would have like meat pies every once in a while or pot pies, you know. But then we had the Italian side in there with a lot of noodles. And,
bread.
You know, rice, you know, stuff like that, you know. But there were a few staples around certain time of the years that it was tradition for us to have.
Thanksgiving turkey.
Turkey.
Christmas ham.
Yep. You know, we had lamb for Easter. We'd also have ham for, like, we would have lamb and ham for Easter. But then every New Year's Day, you know, we would have pork chops and sauerkraut.
Let me ask you this. What is your favorite traditional meal?
Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving.
If I can,
and it's not only just because
of the green bean casserole year round.
Well, it's not only that. Like Thanksgiving for me was real nice because I got to see family members that I actually enjoyed being around. Granted, there are some family members that I didn't enjoy being around as well, but you know, you win some, you lose some. Yeah, exactly. And I got to spend time with those relatives that I enjoyed doing so.
And food brings everybody together. Let's face it.
You know, but we
people are happier if they're
we got to sit around a table and hang out, you know, and eat dinner. You know, before that, we, you know, the kiddos would be outside playing basketball or throwing a football. Throwing a football. This was beforehand, you know, and, you know, we'd be playing outside. And then after dinner, everybody got the itis. And that's when we would sit inside.
Good old tryptophan coma.
We would go ahead and sit inside and watch football game, you know, fall asleep through it, you know, or my nonna would go ahead and convince us all to play cards and play May I, you know, but we would play these, you know, we would spend time with each other.
My favorite traditional meal was Christmas dinner. Like, we'd all get up, open our gifts in the morning, hang out watching movies. I'd help my mom cook, or my brothers would be helping my mom cook. And just that being together with my mom and learning the tricks of the trade, learning different substitutions, learning kitchen math, as our 17-year-old calls it, you know, learning how to create these dishes that people are going to enjoy and knowing that you're a part of that. I love Christmas dinner. My mom always went all out. Even if we couldn't afford a traditional like Thanksgiving dinner or anything big for Thanksgiving, my comfort was that I knew that my mom always went all out for Christmas dinner. We'd have a nice ham. My mom would make fresh mashed potatoes, like homemade mashed potatoes. She would make homemade green bean casserole, like taking actual green beans from the plants and like doing everything from scratch. She would make a homemade mushroom soup for the green bean casserole, like learning and creating and being part of building that tradition and now passing it on to our children. That's my biggest enjoyment with food.
So with us, we would have Christmas Eve dinner, and we would have a big meal, you know, the ham, the mashed potatoes, the green beans and all that. And this is where the leftover thing comes back into it. Christmas Day, we picked all day. We had Christmas cookies out and available, you know, minus, you know, the Hershey Kisses from the peanut butter blossoms, thanks to one of my younger brothers sitting underneath.
He would steal all of them.
Well, he would sit underneath the table and plink, flick them off and take the Hershey Kisses underneath the table and eat them.
That sounds like a Mikey thing.
No.
Wow.
That was a Chris thing.
That's funny.
Love you, Chris. But no, like, we would sit there and like, hey, I'm hungry. I'm going to grab some of ham from last night, put it between two slices of bread, and have myself a ham sandwich.
Leftover turkey sandwiches are the best.
Oh, yeah. You know, but we would do stuff like that, and that would be our Christmas. That would be our Christmas Day dinner, and it was fantastic, and we absolutely loved it.
If y'all hear random noises, sorry. That's just the children coming in from school.
You know, but that was our tradition, was to do it that way. And then, moving out here and having the family that we have, you know, it's nice.
The craziness that it is.
It's nice to be able to sit there and like, oh, hey, we're having a hot turkey or hot ham for dinner.
Bless you.
Thank you. But it's just one of those things where it's like traditions are, for a lack of a better term, peer pressure from our ancestors. And some of them don't make sense. But there are some that bring comfort and nostalgia. And those ones are the best ones.
One of the traditions that I never really carried on was the whole going out into the woods and cutting down your Christmas tree and all that. Like, we never had that growing up. We had the artificial trees. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we, growing up as a kid, I think the only time that we had any sort of artificial tree was when we got older. Like, before us getting over to a certain age, and my parents not wanting to do any sort of cleanup for the Christmas tree, we always had real trees. And I remember one of the last trees that we had, I actually ended up being allergic to. So like,
yeah.
So like, growing up as a kid, we had Douglas firs a lot. And that was our staple. And then one year my parents decided that we were going to get a Scottish pine tree.
And very bad.
We were decorating
it. And
they stink. No, I mean, they smell the same. But we were decorating it, and it was warm because everybody was in the front room and we had the lights on and all
bodies.
And so sweating, you know, you wipe the sweat off your face. I woke up the next day and half of my face had swollen.
Looked like Quasimodo.
It looked like Two-Face from Batman. And that's how we found out that I was allergic to Scottish pine. But that was one of the last real trees that we had, because my parents didn't want to deal with cleaning up the needles and making sure that the thing was watered.
That was my least favorite thing.
You know, but not last year, but the year prior, we got our first actual Christmas, like real live Christmas tree, and you absolutely loved it.
Except for the cleanup.
I mean, except for the cleanup, but for the most part, you loved that tree. You loved
exactly.
You liked the smell. You
it
liked
was a
how
weird
it
lopsided looking thing, but it was great.
Like growing up, you know, going through your life as a kiddo, all you ever had was, you know, artificial trees, and then you finally have. I finally was able to convince you to get a real tree, and you were like, "What did you tell me? Do you remember what you told me?"
No.
You told me, "All right, we're doing this again."
Which last year we didn't even have a Christmas tree, but it was kind of a weird situation. We had no room.
But you said we're getting real trees. And I'm fine with that. Like, yeah, does it suck for the cleanup? Absolutely. Does it suck because of, you know, thing one and thing two wanting to jump in them all the time? Absolutely.
Cats are evil when it comes to Christmas trees.
However.
Dogs are evil when they drink all the water from the real one, too.
However. You liked it.
I loved it. And that's a tradition that I could see growing with. And that's the thing. And, you know, that's one of those things where it's not only tradition with food. It's not only tradition with the tree. It's the tradition of being together. And I think that's what I love about food, is that bringing everybody together, knowing likes and dislikes, having workarounds with allergies and stuff like that, or religious beliefs. Like if we had friends that couldn't eat pork, I wouldn't knowingly be like, okay, I'm going to use pork gravy. I'm going to use pork chops.
Pork chops and bacon.
No, it's like, okay, we want some sort of meat and veggie and potato and whatnot, keeping in mind that this person has a religious belief that doesn't allow them to eat pork.
Fish.
Exactly.
Or ham.
Or beef. You know, having those workarounds, having those differing recipes, having those differing opinions, having those likes and dislikes and allergies, you know, keeping all of that in mind when creating something is one of the best feelings in the world.
Oh, yeah. I will agree with you on that. I like to cook. You don't let me cook very often.
No, because sometimes I was always taught growing up, clean as you go, and you don't do that
because
if you're going to use
exactly. How I was taught is you clean up afterwards, because what if you need to use that same thing again? And what's the point in cleaning it if you're just going to use it again?
Yeah. I mean,
it's simple. It's with the way that I cook, it's all about saving money in the end run. By not using up a whole lot of water. Because you're already going to have to wash the dishes afterwards. Might as well just make whatever you used to cook a part of that. There's no point in washing like the stuff you used to make it when you're just going to use it to serve it, to which then you're going to have to wash it anyways again afterwards.
I'm more so talking about like the knife and the cutting board.
I'll wipe that stuff off.
No, I'll fully wash it between like cutting meats and vegetables and stuff like
if
that.
If we're having different meats, then yeah, I'll wipe it off. Like I'll clean it off and all that. But how often do we have differing meats in one dish?
No, I'm talking more so like cross-contamination.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to.
No, I'm talking like if I'm cutting chicken on the cutting board, which has to be done first because it takes the longest, you know, I'm going to wash the tools so that I can utilize it to cut the vegetables.
That's what I'm getting at.
No, you should always wash it because of cross-contamination. Because you don't know how, like if I'm chopping stuff for the salad.
Okay, I think you misunderstood what I said. Like if I'm going to be using the same thing and it's meat involved, then yes, I'm going to wash it. I'm going to take care of it so that way
stuff doesn't get into it. That's what I mean by clean as you
go. Cleaning as you go is a different thing in altogether. Because like, hey, I just got done using this pot. I've transferred everything over to another container. I'm gonna wash this pot.
Vessel.
It's like, what? Why? You know, or here's another thing. Just get another cutting board.
I like my glass cutting board.
Get a separate one.
My grandmother gave that to me.
Get a second one. Anyways, so I think that's where we're gonna call it for today.
Yep, I've had fun. I liked this today.
Oh yeah, today was a good one. Mine is that first little section, but you know, gotta get the anger out first, and then
gotta take the bad with the good.
Pretty much. But thank you all for listening.
Don't forget to love each other.
We are still working on getting a couple of our social media platforms up and going for it. Like Twitter and stuff like that. So that way, if you guys want to interact with us, you can. But I have been noticing that there have been some questions and polls on Spotify. You know, to all those who are listening on Spotify, shout out to you guys. But yeah, I mean, write some comments. You know, what did you think of today's show? You know, we're always open to have a discussion and talk about what we want to hear, what you guys want to hear us talk about. So just drop a line, even if it's just saying, hey, what's going on? How are you? You know, loved it. Loved the show. Didn't like the show because of this. Give us some feedback. We'll take it into consideration and do what we can for it.
But the thing is, don't be a dick.
Anyways, exactly. We love y'all and we'll talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.